Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Pastor Andrew. And thanks to Pastor Ben for taking care of us over this weekend. We've had a fantastic time. We are enjoying ourselves. There's city people coming down here. It's been fantastic. And thanks for putting us in a remote place, which is on a farm, which we are really, really enjoying. And it's fantastic. It's been cool. And also, we want to thank Pastor Eliafi and Pastor Fia for giving us this opportunity to be here this weekend and minister to the leaders and also to the children's leaders yesterday. Sunitha did that and this morning, but also again this morning and tonight I'll be speaking again. But it has been really, really cool to be here and thank God for the opportunity that He has given us. And how many of you love that song, Reckless Love? Man, it's just an amazing, amazing song. And that's exactly who our God is. That is exactly who our God is. If God would not have come after me, leaving those 99, I'm not worried about those 99. I'm just worried about myself. I'm so glad that He actually came after me. And it's the same thing with you too, that you should be so glad that He has come after you. And He has climbed every mountain, kicked every wall down. And especially, you know what I love? I love that verse where it says, He has torn down every lie that has been spoken over your life. And it's the same thing. He has torn down every lie that has been spoken over your life and my life too. But the problem is sometimes we get a hold of these lies that have been spoken over your lives by somebody who don't even remember that they've spoken over your life, but you're holding on to them. Holding on to them. This morning, I want to pray before we go any further to say, let those lies be torn down over your life, because God has an amazing plan for you, and He loves you immensely, and He has done everything that only He could do, because He wants to see you have an amazing relationship with Him. I want you to take a few moments just to think of those lies which are holding you down. And I'm going to pray for that. Maybe somebody said that you're not good enough. Maybe somebody said that you'll never do, you can never do this. You can't do that. Holy Spirit, God, this morning, we come against every lie that has been spoken over our lives, so God. Lord, intentionally or unintentionally, Lord, those words that have been spoken over our lives, so God, I take authority over them. I rebuke them in the name of Jesus, and I cast them out, O God. Put them under our feet, O God. No word that has been spoken over our lives would be exalted over the name of Jesus. This morning we receive it, we claim it, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And just when you walk out of this building too, that lie will come back to you. But when that lie comes back to you as you walk out, just remind the lie that Jesus has torn it down. Because there was a lie that was spoken about 20 years back over my life when I was back in India. One of the leaders that I worked for said, I will amount to nothing. That I'm not a good leader, that I'll never be a good leader, that I'm just a runaround boy, and that I'll never amount to anything. You know what? For the next 10 years, I struggled with it. I struggled with it, but then there was a breakthrough that God has reminded me that I'm not defined by what people have said over my life, but I'm defined by what God says about me. And I want to tell you that this morning too, that you are not defined by what your mother said. Happy Mother's Day, by the way. What your father said, what your brother said, what your friend said, or what your neighbor said, that you would not mount to anything. They said, you're good for nothing. You will not mount to anything. You are nobody. But let me tell you that that was what was spoken over my life. But here I am. I never dreamt. And I'm not telling you this as proud and boasting about myself, but I'm telling this because I'm boasting about my Lord Jesus Christ, because of what He has done in my life. The reason that I'm standing here is because of His goodness. The reason that I'm on the executive is not because of what I've done. Let me be honest. If I look back, I'm not sure what I've done. But it is the doing of God. And that's the reason I'm here. And I think I'm the first Indian to be on this national executive. And I hope it's not the last. By the population, I'm sure it won't be the last. The way that the Indians are growing, we're past billion, 1 point something billion, and we keep growing. Just in India, this is, by the way. Leave alone all around the world. Man, we're going to take over the world. No, we're not. For Jesus, thank you for rescuing me. I was wondering how I was going to get out of that. Thanks for that. But this was what was spoken over my life. But I just needed to break through that. And I just want to remind you, there were words that I've spoken of. I'm sure that there is not a single person that is here who has not been under that shadow of somebody saying something. But I want to release you. I want to break through, because your God and my God, His love is reckless. He climbs every mountain. He breaks every wall, every chain, every lie, and He comes after you. So this morning, I just want to remind you that your God, that my God, is very, 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 very interested in you. He's very, 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 I'll stop it there, in love with you. He's absolutely in love with you. And if you don't get anything out of this morning, I want you to get this, that He is amazingly in love with you. Let me tell you another thing. He's in love with you. You know why? Not because of what you've done. Not because of what you haven't done. But He loves you because of everything that He has done. You know, He created you. He knew you even before you were formed in your mother's womb. Maybe one of you may be thinking, I'm an accident. No accidents, my dear friend. God says there are no accidents, because He knew you while you were in your mother's womb. And the Bible also says that He knit you together and He wove you together. Intricacies, every detail He knows, every weakness He knows, every lie He knows. But what it is you are special, and very, very, very special. And another thing, there are a lot of other things that I'm going to tell you this morning. The thing is, I want you to know that you don't need to compare yourself with anybody. I know this morning, I'm speaking and I'm being myself. You have got an amazing speaker in Pastor Eliafi. He's an amazing preacher. I'm not trying to compare with him, but I'm being everything that God has created me to be. He's a Samoan, I'm an Indian. There's a huge difference there. That's not just one difference, that's one of the differences. He's a great preacher, but hey, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me, lives in him, lives in you. Just because I have the microphone doesn't mean that I'm elevated. Just because you're sitting and listening to me doesn't mean that I'm elevated, that you are sitting there. But it is. This is what's happening right now. But I want you to know that you are special. You're special, special for God this morning. I don't know. I did not plan this morning. But I know somebody here needs to hear that you're special, that you're loved, and God is going after you. Maybe you're on the verge of something and you're wanting to give up on something. But let me tell you that please don't do that. Go after God, because God, not even go after God, God, just stand where you are. And God is coming. God has been after you. God is after you, and He is coming after you. And He will take your hand. And He's done that for me, otherwise I would not be here. That's what I was trying to say earlier. I would not be here if it wasn't for God. It is not my qualifications. It is not my abilities, and definitely not my good looks. I don't know why people always laugh when I talk about my good looks. I think I'm the best created one on the planet. But you, somehow people don't seem to agree upon it. I really don't get it, but I don't care. Really, I don't care if you agree upon it or not. I really don't care if you agree that I'm the most handsome one or not. I know I am. I'm a poster. Yeah, thank you, whoever it was. I'm actually a poster boy. Because a friend of mine says, his name is Ed Delphi, he says, when God created you, he looked at you and he said, I will never do that again. In a good way, by the way, the way that I said. I think the way that I said doesn't sound like it's a good thing, but it is a good thing. God did the same thing, looked at me, created me, and he said, I will never do that again. And he has never done that before, and he has not done it ever since, and he will never do that again because I'm completely unique, and I'm completely created uniquely, and my characteristics are unique. My features are famously mine. Everything is mine. And God created, he looked at me, and he said, I will never do that again, and I love him as never before. And so that's who you are. And I want you to know that God absolutely, absolutely loves you. As I was praying for what to speak through this week, and one of the things for Sunday that God placed on my heart was to inspire you about faith. Without faith, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version, but it says, but without faith, it is impossible to walk with God and please him, for whoever comes near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. But out of that verse, what I want us to get is that we need to believe that God exists. And I know the reason that you're sitting here listening to an Indian is because you believe that God exists. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. It's a sunny day out there. You could be doing anything else. The most important thing would be still be in bed. Doesn't matter what it is outside. You could still be in bed. That's what I do usually. But the thing is, you and I need to believe that God is. And that believe in his existence, but also believe that he is a rewarder. But also before I go there, I want to share this. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. The word, the meaning of the word please is to give, to bring satisfaction or pleasure. To bring satisfaction or pleasure. By me, by having faith in God and walking with God, I give God the pleasure. I give God pleasure. Have you ever thought of that? That you hanging out with God actually gives God pleasure. He gives God satisfaction. Gives God that amazing satisfaction. And that's what it is. I want us to take that too and say, hey, me hanging out with God is actually gives him an amazing pleasure. And I remember me and we've got two boys now, men 26 and 23. Amazing guys who love the Lord and who love us, love their mom more than me. I let it pass by just because today is Mother's Day. Otherwise, I'll tell them off. But it's okay. She has done a fantastic job. But these guys are there. But I remember when they were about, maybe the oldest was 10 and the younger was 7. We lived in this Lockwood house. We had our bedroom on the top, and these kids would sleep on the ground floor. But we remember, especially on Saturday mornings, we would just sleep in a little bit, but then we would hear these little feet running around. They would get up early, and they would be running around. And we'd be waiting and waiting and waiting. They didn't want to come. They were having a good time on a Saturday morning by themselves. And they did not want us to call them in, but we would listen to this little footsteps running around. And it used to give us a lot of joy. We would wait for maybe like 2 minutes. Where I couldn't hold back. I'll knock on the wall. I said, come on up. Come on up. And slowly they would drag themselves. They'd come on up and they'll jump in our bed. And we'd have these funny little games that we had. And one of the games was that I was annoying their mother. And she would actually put her hand up and say, help, help. And these two little fellows would come and beat me up. That was the game that we played. One of the games that we played. And so, but it was such a great joy for me as a father. I would just listen to those footsteps. And them coming up the stairs was just the most joyous thing that I would hear was, these guys are coming up. They're coming up to jump into my bed and we're going to have a good time. And the same way, then God reminded me and says, when God hears my footsteps, when God hears your footstep, he gets excited. Because he's saying, my kid's coming up. He wants to hang out with me. And also there were times when these kids would walk on those Saturday mornings. It was not that they wanted something. They just wanted to come up and they just wanted to jump in bed. They wanted to jump in bed with us and just muck around, just roll around and have fun. There was nothing else. There wasn't an agenda. There wasn't an agenda where we said, oh, if I hang out with my dad for the next 15 minutes, he will buy me a toy. How would you feel? My kids say, oh, I'm going to hang out for 15 minutes with my dad. It's going to be fantastic. I'm just going to say all the right words. I'm going to use all the right things that he likes. But the whole hope is they'll buy me a good toy at the end of the day. My heart would be gutted. Being a human, I can't fulfill all their desires. I can't fulfill everything that they need or want. But then can you see where I'm going to? I did the same thing. I do the same thing that sometimes I do the same thing with God too. I'm going to spend 15 minutes with God, use all the right words, the right kind of prayers, the right faith language that my pastor taught me or I read in a book. The whole point of hanging out with God is to get something out of him. How sad is it? It is sad. I feel for God. That's how I do things. I did things. But we need to change that. I want to just hang out with God. You know why? Because my God loves me so much that he climbs every mountain, kicks down every wall, every lie, everything, gave everything, gave up his most precious son to die for me. And then here I am. I'm trying to use the right language, trying to spend another 10 minutes or 15 minutes gritting my teeth, looking at the watch every second, hoping that those 15 minutes that I promised God would be fulfilled so that I can get what I want of God. Isn't it sad? But sometimes that's how we are. At the end of the day, I don't want to put any guilt on you. But this morning, I want to have freedom in your life where you're saying, God loves you. But you say, we can always say, God, I'm sorry about that. But I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back. I think Matt Redman wrote that song, Coming Back to the Heart of Worship. I heard this story from their pastor, Mike Pilavachi. He was at a conference recently, and he was saying that these guys, sometimes, and this morning as I was sharing, I said, familiarity breeds contempt. Every Sunday morning you come, worship four songs, lift up hands, sit down, announcements, da-da-da, preacher, yeah, go out, have a cup of coffee, go back home, do whatever you do. If that's what you are used to, and that's what you're here for, man, we've missed the point. We missed the point of coming together. We missed the whole point of worshiping God. We missed the whole point of giving God the pleasure. Because we are saying, God, I'm coming because I am coming because I believe in your existence. I'm coming because I know that you're here. Because your word says where two or three gather, your presence is going to be there, and I am here, God. And I'm here because I want to have a chat with you, have an encounter with you. And also I'm here because your word says, do not neglect the gathering of believers. That's the reason I'm here, because your word says. And I'm going to be here because I want to receive from you, but I want to receive from others, but I also want to give. I'm not just a consumer, but I will contribute. I'm not just a consumer at church or God, but I am a contributor. And we need to have these shifts in our heads and in our hearts. And coming back to it, we give a lot of pleasure to God when we come into his presence. So let it not be a duty. If it is a duty, you and I miss the whole point, my dear friends. We miss the whole point. You know what? The Bible clearly says that God came in the cool of the evening to catch up with Adam and Eve. And I say he hasn't stopped that. His motives haven't changed. He still wants to catch up with you in the cool of the evening. But also, you know what? When I read that recently, again, every time you read it, God shows you something else. I realized that God came in the cool of the evening knowing fully well where these guys were. You think God did not know where these guys were? And he comes and calls them out and says, "Where are you, Adam?" He wanted them to own up to it. But what really caught my attention was knowing fully well what has happened, he still showed up in the cool of the evening. Knowing fully well what's going on in your life, he still shows up when he says he shows up. So I want you and me to actually say, "Hey, God, I know I've faltered. I made a mistake. I haven't kept up to what I promised that I would say." It's okay. I'm not trivializing it, but I'm saying you're human. You're not God. You're okay. You make mistakes. God knows it. But then we're saying, "God, I'm really sorry for mucking up." Repentance is the biggest thing. Repentance is turning around, making a mistake and turning around and saying, "God, I'm really sorry for it. I'm coming back to your heart, oh God." When you come back to God, God is more than happy with his arms wide open. He's saying, "Hey, come on in. I've made an accommodation. I've accommodated all these things that you're going through, and he wants us to come through." Adam and Eve walked. God walked with them. Noah, Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, he says he walked with God. And Noah walked with God. Abraham, God spoke to him. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. But also I want to remind you that God has given you and me the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. When Jesus was leaving, he said, "The Holy Spirit God is going to come. He's going to be your comforter, your guide, and your teacher. And he's going to be with you. He dwells in you." So my dear friends, I want you to really realize and recognize that God dwells in you. He is interested in you and he wants to go with you. And also Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16, it says, "Above all, lift up the protective shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." Again, we talked about, I prayed about these negative thoughts that would come into your mind because of what people have spoken. But also, there's another guy whose name is Accuser, Satan. He accuses you of everything that you've done or not even done. But also, one of the things that he comes and says is, "Has God said so? Has God said so? Does God really say that in your Bible?" And when he says that, you and I need to have the word of God in our heart so that we can actually get back and say, "Yes, my God said so." The Bible says in Genesis 3, Satan came to Eve and said, "Did really God say that to you?" And he hasn't changed his tactics yet because we still fall for the same thing. He comes and says, "Has God said the same thing to you? Has God said it to you?" But we need to actually change that and say, "Hey, God really said that to me. God said that he loves me. God said that he cares for me." So whatever you need to be able to say those things. But for you to be able to say, talk back. Jesus is the perfect example. Luke chapter 4, when he was tempted, when the accuser came and told stories and said, "The word of God says this, word of God says this." What did Jesus use? He used the word of God. He says, "But the word of God says da 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 da." For us to be able to do that, do you know the word of God is another question that I want to ask you this morning. Do you know the word of God where you're actually going to say to the devil, when the devil comes and accuses you, you're actually going to say, "Hey, you're quoting the scripture wrong, but the scripture actually says this. And I'm going to quote this and I'm going to stand on that." Stand on that. You and I are men and women of faith. This morning when you woke up, you drove to this place, you sat in the car, and you believed that your car was going to bring you here. You sat in that chair. How many of you actually checked if the chair was going to hold you? Nobody checked that the chair was going to hold you. You just sat. But also this morning, you also came with full faith that this Indian is going to speak to you from the Word of God. And I hope I don't disappoint. I hope that God speaks to you. And I'm sure that God's going to speak to you. But the thing is, we're people of faith. We're people of faith. But for us to actually believe in what God is saying, we need to know the Word of God. When God says something, you and I need to be people who step out in faith and actually get on with it and start doing it. Faith is doing things against the tide. Going against the tide is what faith is. And again, it's not just because I want to be cool. I want to do things. Oh, there was a time when I was a young fellow. I dressed up like the way that I wanted to because I wanted to be different from everybody else. Is it just me? No, not just me. Many of you want to be different. We want to be different. But we, as Christians, we are going against the tide. You know why? Not just because I want to be cool, but because God said so. God told you to do something, and you and I are able to step out in faith and go on. And Hebrews chapter 11 has a lot of stories. Stories are actually facts. So stories, my wife says, now when you say to some of the young people, I'm going to tell you a story, they think it is fictional. But not, no, this is not fictional. It is proven. These are the stories that have happened. So Hebrews chapter 11 has stories. They're not fictional, but actually facts, those things that have happened. And they were all based on faith, on what God has said. Noah built an ark on dry ground, he didn't even know what it was to float anything, because it did not float anything anywhere. So Noah built an ark on a dry ground. Abraham left his house, he left his family, father, familiarity, everything surrounding him. He went when he told his father. His father said, where are you going? He said, I don't know. Who are you going with? I don't know. When are you going to come? Nothing. He had no idea. But he left when he went, knowing that God has called him. Moses left his royal palace because God called him. Esther went into royal palace knowing well that she was nobody, but just because there was a call of God. Joshua walked around the walls like an idiot. Not just himself. Man, look at his audacity, man. It was not just himself. Now, imagine if Pastor Eliab, he says, hey, we're going to march around these walls. We're all going. He's lost his mind. You can do it. I'm going to stay home, watch whatever is on TV. But these guys, the whole place, with the worship band going in front, they were walking around. How are we going to do that? Joshua going around the walls. Maybe, and also I say, those stories, there are only a few stories that have been written, but let me promise, I bet you, if I sit with you and let you tell your story, man, that story would be in here. You know why your story would be in here? Because God is in your story. Not because of who you are, but because of who God is in your life. The stories in chapter 11 are not because of those guys, but because of God in their lives. The same thing, your story would be in this book because God is in your life. And I don't want to neglect it, but I want you to actually look forward to it and see what God is saying. And I want you to move forward and see, God, what is it that you want me to do? And also this morning, I want to tell you, God is a relational God. He's not a religious God. He's not because you do this, I'm going to show up. No, I'm going to show up because I love you. Yeah? But of course, because God shows up, we sing. We worship. We lift up our hands because we're overwhelmed by His presence. That's the reason why we do these things. But God is a relational God, not a religious God. It's like we just love God. Out of relationship comes conversations. When two people have a relationship, even friends, when two friends sit together, they hang out and they sit down. And you know what? Soon there'll be some conversations. And out of that conversation, there'll be an amazing idea which will come up. And you sit there and you're just hanging out and playing pool. Or if you're not saved, having a cold one. But now you only have cold water. Because you're sanctified? Sure? And out of that comes a great idea, a great conversation. When you hang out with God, man, you know why? When you hang out with God, He will give some ideas. Because you know why? Have you figured out why? I figured it out why. Because He's the creator. He's the most amazing creator. He comes up with these ideas. I don't know how He can come up with the ideas. And also, I said this to the leaders. I say this, God is a show-off. Have you realized your God is a show-off? He is amazingly show-off. Why does He need so many shades of blue? Why does He need to have so many shapes of leaves? Why? I can't figure it out. Even if there were 10, I would be very satisfied. Even if there were not 10, 2, I would be satisfied because I'm not a biologist. Or I'm not that. I'm happy. But God thought I'm going to show it off, and we're still figuring out how many shapes there are and how many types of things, species are still there. He's just absolutely a show off. You know why He showed off? He didn't want to show it off to Satan. Was He trying to show off to Satan? No. You know who He was trying to show off to? Me. He was trying to show off to me, my life. He was like, my creation, my son, I'm going to show off who I am, who your father is. Come on. I'm going to show off who your father is. Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? I'm your daddy. Come on. Is there anybody else who can beat this? All these pieces, all these colors. This is your daddy. And you and I need to get that. When you hang out with your daddy, guess what? You're bound to have an amazing conversation, and something's going to come out of that conversation, and then suddenly you will hear the heart of your father. And you will also hear the bleeding heart of your father. And then suddenly God says, and you're like, hey, Dad, what's going on? And says, you see that family there? You see that neighborhood there? You see that person there? They're going through a little bit of situations and life's just happened in their life. Can you just go do something for me? Can you really do that? I'm like, Dad, yes, of course I can do. And I was like, give them a smile. That's it. That's it. Give them a smile. Give them a hug. That's it. I thought you were going to give me something major. I was like, go give them a hug. Give them a smile. Just say hello. Don't act as if you're really busy. Hey, if you see me on the phone, you know that I don't want to talk to you. Not just me, it's you too. If you don't want to talk to someone, you're acting as if like this is a really important thing that you're looking at. Just give somebody a hug. And out of relationship, out of hanging out with your daddy comes these conversations. Out of those conversations, there comes this instruction where God says, hey, son, hey, daughter, I want you to just let's do this together. Let's help this family, help this person, help this community, help this city, help this country. Let's turn this around because the devil's just telling them lie after lie after lie. Let's turn this around. Then relationship brings conversations. Conversations brings instruction. And out of instruction, you and I need to be obedient. We just say, okay, God, because you said so, I'm going to do it. Because you said so, I'm going to build an ark on dry ground. Because you said so, I'm going to leave my home. Because you said so, I'm going to go around the walls. Because you said so, I'm going to leave everything that I have. Because you said so, I'm going to go back into the palace where I don't fit at all. But the thing is, don't compare yourself to anybody. What is He saying to you is what matters. See what He's saying to you. And when you do that, you have faith. But the Bible says, James chapter 2 verse 17, it says, faith without works is dead. Man, we could have all the faith in this place, but when you walk out of that place and you're a very pious Christian, who cares? The world doesn't care a hoots about how good Christian you are. What an amazing time that you had here. But the thing is, they want to see your actions. But I want to close now with this thought. Maybe there's been a setback in your life. You felt like you heard God. you did not finish off what God has told you, or you disobeyed God. Welcome to my world, please. If you have disobeyed God, please come stand with me because I feel very lonely here. We've all done that. We've all missed God sometimes. But because we've missed God, what happens is we will just pull back from everything. But God says, no, 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 don't pull back. Don't pull back. I know you. Most of you would know the story of Abraham having a promised child. But before he had Isaac, he made a mistake. And he had an Ishmael. How many of you know that? He had an Ishmael. And because he had an Ishmael, did God give up on Isaac? And it is said to Abraham, Abraham, you just absolutely mucked it up. Because you had an Ishmael instead of an Isaac, I'm going to give up on Isaac. No, he said, you have produced an Ishmael. You're going to deal with it. But I will, whatever I promised, I'm going to see that through. He said, you are going to have an Isaac. And he had an Isaac. The same thing that I want to encourage you here this morning. Maybe you feel like you're like me. You've produced a few Ishmaels and you have given up and you've completely pulled back. But I want to say God hasn't given up on his Isaac, the one that he has promised you. I don't know what dream you're carrying or what dream that you've given up that God has spoken to you. But I want the Holy Spirit God to revive that into your hearts now. And I also want to challenge you as a church. I want to challenge you as a church. You're in this city. You're placed in this place not just to have a good time. Of course, you're meant to have a good time. But besides that, I want you to believe for a city changed, a city transformed, a city saved, and a city transformed. Can you believe that? And it is not going to happen by Pastor Eliaf and Pastor Fia, Pastor Andrew and Ben, not just a few people who are here, but all of us together. We will see a city transformed. I was catching up with Pastor Ben yesterday, and he said there were prophecies. I was also talking to the Central Baptist pastor, Nigel Irwin, I think, and he was saying that there were prophetic words over this place, over Whanganui. Prophetic words way back that there's going to be sparks coming out of this place and spreading out to the nation. Man, you got a great heritage. Just take a hold of it and believe in it and say, God, how can I be a part of it? How can I be a part of it? I just want to give you a few moments this morning just to say, hey, if you feel like you produced an Ishmael, don't step back. Step back into God, and you're going to produce what God has called you to, and that is an Isaac. You're going to see, can you believe with me to see a city saved? Can you believe with me to see a city transformed? Can you believe with me that the gangs that rule this place would turn to God? Would you believe with me that the children in our schools would actually turn to God? Even though the world is saying alternative lifestyle is okay, but we believe, no, that is not good for humans. So we believe for that and we say, no, God, I'm not going to believe that lie that the world is putting to me. I'm going to believe with you and I'm going to trust you to see a city saved. Let's stand to our feet this morning and I want you to believe for a city saved. I want you to believe for a city saved. I want you to believe for a city saved. I don't care how long you've been believing it for. I want you to believe for another few years. I want you to believe till this happens. I want you to believe till this happens. You're not called into this city. Your Faith City Church is not in this place just for whatever reason. Oh, I just happen to be here. No, 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 no. You are here for such a time as this to see the move of God, to usher in the move of God. With everybody else, I'm saying this is not the church that is going to see the move of God. This is part of the body of Christ. You are a part of the body of Christ, the churches in Whanganui, to see a city saved. Can we believe for that? Can we believe for that? Can we start praying, my dear friends? Can we start praying? If you speak in tongues, I want you to pray.